We're wrapping up our two-week-long look at alcohol in Wisconsin. Today we have the story of one of the first Black-owned breweries in the country. A group of African-American businessmen bought the Oshkosh-based People's Brewing Company in 1970. Now the brewery's history and legacy is being remembered in an exhibit from the Milwaukee County Historical Society. Ben Barbera is the curator of the exhibit for the Historical Society. Ben, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, People's Brewing had a long prehistory before it was bought by this group of mostly Milwaukeeans in 1970. Can you give us a little of the backstory?
Sure. People's is a really interesting instance of a cooperative brewery that came together in the very early part of the 20th century. It was sort of a reaction to the brewing forces in Oshkosh at the time having control over the local taverns and really having control over beer prices. And so a group of tavern owners got together and created this brewery that they aptly named People's Brewing Company. They first raised the money in 1911, and it started producing beer in 1913.
And I'll fast forward to the late 60s, and this group led by Ted Mack in Milwaukee. Can you first tell us about him?
Ted Mack was an interesting guy. He was raised in the South, went to Ohio State for a little while, and then transferred to Marquette and was living in Milwaukee. And he got a job working for Pabst in the 1960s. And one of his responsibilities with Pabst was sort of being a leader of integrating the workforce. He was also involved in civil rights, the civil rights movement, and various other activities. And so he was a very forward-thinking individual. And so he and a bunch of other people created this United Black Enterprises, known as UBE, to really further black entrepreneurial efforts in Milwaukee in the late 60s.
And how did they come to buy People's Brewing?
Well, the very first project that they embarked on was to try to buy Blatt's. Pabst had acquired Blatt's in 1958, but due to antitrust regulations, were not allowed to hold it, and they were going to have to sell it. And so the UBE entered into bidding for Blatt's, but the going price was roughly $10 million. Which was a little bit outside of what they could reach, and it was eventually sold to Heilemann. So the UBE still was interested in this idea of a black-owned brewery, and so they turned their sights on People's, which at the time realized that they were having trouble continuing with their business model at the time and were looking to sell.
And this was a tough time for small to mid-sized breweries in the country, right?
Yeah, contraction had been going on for decades, and at this point there were roughly 100 breweries left in the country producing beer, at least sort of shipping breweries. And so these small breweries like People's and a lot of other ones in Wisconsin that were folding at the same time were really struggling against the big ones like Pabst and Schlitz and Anheuser-Busch.
And now at this time, there weren't African-American-owned breweries or a lot of African-owned businesses, period, of that size, right?
Right. Most African-American-owned businesses at the time were small, you know, service-oriented business, barbershops, restaurants, and things like that. And there weren't a lot of large African-American-owned businesses, certainly not in Milwaukee. And so an enterprise like this was really sort of bold and novel at the time.
We're talking to Ben Barbera, a curator at the Milwaukee County Historical Society, looking at the history of People's Brewing, owned by a group of African-American business people in Milwaukee, the brewery itself in Oshkosh. Ben, talk about the short life then of People's Brewing after it was purchased by this group, Ted Mack and his colleagues.
Yeah, so fortunately, Ted Mack was a charismatic guy because he immediately faced a lot of issues. There were rumors that UBE was only going to hire black employees. They were going to force out any white employees at People's. There were rumors that the quality of the beer was going to go downhill. And in fact, Ted Mack had to send a sample to the Siebel Institute in Chicago to get tested, and it came back with very good results. And initially in Oshkosh, there was a lot of backlash, and almost all of the taverns and stores pulled People's off of the shelves. But eventually, Ted Mack was able to convince them to return to selling the beer. And so in the first year, things looked pretty good for People's. They had raised a fair amount of money from the community. They were selling beer. They were the only non-Milwaukee beer that was sold at Milwaukee County Stadium and at the Milwaukee Bucks games. And so Ted Mack had some big expansion plans to move into predominantly African-American markets throughout the country and expand nationwide.
And that backlash you mentioned, was it in part or completely because this was a group of black people running the brewery?
Race was definitely a factor. Oshkosh had some civil unrest earlier, or you know, about a year before Peoples was officially bought, called Black Thursday, and so there was definitely a pushback that was race based. And Mack was well aware of this and did his best to smooth things over.
And Ted Mack, I understand, was concerned that, okay, all the black employees this company had were in Milwaukee. The staff at Oshkosh was all white. He was hoping to integrate the company.
Yeah, he really was. He didn't want to... Well, while he wanted to promote black entrepreneurship and black business, he didn't necessarily want the company to have any sort of... racial divide or even sort of a strong racial component. He wanted to sell beer. He wanted to have a successful company, and he wanted to promote black ownership of businesses. And so he really worked hard to make everybody happy. And even though the brewery was only around for a short time, people who worked for him said he was a great person to work for.
Yeah, ultimately, no matter who owned it, Peoples Brewing faced the same problems that a brewery of its size faced in the country at the time.
Absolutely. They simply could not compete with the large brewers, both from the standpoint of these brewers could just swamp the market, and they also were controlling the prices, as it turned out. And so Mack and Peoples ran into a problem of being able to distribute the beer widely. And sales faltered, too, because white people didn't want to necessarily drink a black beer, and it was a premium-priced beer, and so people in some of the more depressed markets couldn't afford it. And so despite the big plans of Mack, sales were not matching up to what he was hoping to do.
Now here we are 4 decades or so after they closed down. Take us into your exhibit now. What do we see?
So this is our summer exhibit. It's a pop-up exhibit, and so... We have some images, and we tell the story of Peoples. We also have some cool artifacts, some cans and bottles and other things like that from both Peoples before the ownership by UBE, but also during that period. And it's really, you know, I've been wanting to tell this story for a few years now. And my collaborator, John Harry, who's a graduate student at UWM, came to me. He had done a lot of research on Peoples, and we talked about it, and we decided that this was a good time to have this exhibit pop up at the Historical Society.
Looking back from this vantage point where we have all these local and regional breweries in Wisconsin, does it seem like a kind of a could have been story? If something like this had happened now, it might have a shot?
Yeah, absolutely. Had they, you know, been doing this 10 years, 20 years later, they might have had a good chance. And it's interesting to see, you know, black ownership is still very underrepresented in brewing today, but they are starting to emerge. Lots of black-owned breweries are popping up all over the country. And so, you know, in a different climate, in a different environment, Peoples under the ownership of Ted Mack and his team might very well have taken off.
Now, I imagine that a story like this might point off with threads in other directions. Are there follow-ups you might be interested in doing down the road?
Well, this stemmed from our current exhibit on our current feature exhibit on Prohibition and how after Prohibition, the brewing industry changed. But we've done other looks at beer and brewing, and one of the things we've really kind of focused on is how brewing used to be very much a regional or neighborhood establishment, then it became big corporations, and then it became small and regional again. And so it's really interesting looking at how things have sort of returned to the origins with brewing, and there's lots of opportunities to tell that story in a lot of different ways.
And briefly, Ted Mack, in our last 30 seconds or so, what did he go on to after Peoples?
He returned to Milwaukee where he did social work and sold insurance for a while. And then ultimately he ended up in Atlanta and he actually just passed away recently at the age of 88.
Ben, thanks a lot for sharing this story with us.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
That's Ben Barbera, curator at the Milwaukee County Historical Society. He's with us today to talk about an exhibit and the story of Peoples Brewing Company. It's one of the first black-owned breweries in the country, Milwaukee-based business people, the brewery bought in Oshkosh. You can see all of our stories in our series High Tolerance, looking at the relationship, the complicated relationship with alcohol here in Wisconsin. There have been 2 weeks' worth of stories, a lot you've heard, a lot of visuals you can find online, too. Head over to WPR.org/alcohol. That's WPR.org/alcohol. And if you have thoughts on what we've talked about, send us a note. Ideas@WPR.org is the best email address to send it to.